Are you okay there?
Good evening, gentlemen. We continue in the Rambam. We're in Hilchos Shabbos, Perek Chof Gimel, Halacha Chof Dalid, Chapter 23, Law 24, in the Maznayim text. That puts us on page 220 and 221. Yesterday we began a discussion, if, God forbid, a fire is in your chotzer, in your courtyard, or in your house, you're allowed to remove certain
fire
things.
Fire too?
Yes, it's fires. Fires in Gemara and fires in the Rambam. It's Mamash Eish. So, you know, so that you really technically, according to the letter of law, could take everything out of the house outside to an area that has an Eruv. But we're concerned if you're going to do that already, then you might put out the fire, which is not allowed. Therefore, we restrict what you can take out. And because of those restrictions, it will remind you that you can't, you won't become feeling that you're going to put out the fire. So we're moving, so we're talking about taking food out. So you can only take food out for three meals or two meals or one meal, depending on what time of the day the fire happened. And you can also kind of cheat a little bit in a kosher way. Let's say if you take in one big basket, you take 50 rolls on one shot, you could even take more food than you need. Now, how about enlisting the help of other people to save food? And that's what Halacha Chof Dalid is going to talk about. The Yomer Lacherim, you can tell other people, Bo Vatzilochem, go save some food for yourselves. He can't tell them to take for him. Because then that means he's going to try to save everything, and then he might put out the fire again. No. But he could say, listen, I can only take what I get, but listen, you guys could take
why whatever. Should it go to waste?
It's like Hefker.
Yeah.
It's like, he's not making it Hefker, but it's going to get burnt, so you might as well enjoy it for yourselves and enjoy the meal. Right? And again, he's stuck with the three meals, but these guys, are they going to be so concerned on their money?
No.
Are they going to think to put out the fire? No.
They'll just take what they can.
They can take whatever they can.
Enjoy. There's nothing to hate.
So, v'chol echad v'echad matzel mazen shutzorech lo, and each one can take whatever food that he needs. So he made it all hefker.
How about just food, or he can steal everything else?
Oh, kli echad shemachzik afilu davar gadol, or even one utensil that holds lots of food, v'arehu shel matzel, it belongs to the guy who saves it. These guys can take big baskets out of food.
So it's considered hefker, everything in that house, basically.
Yes.
So they get to keep it.
Yes.
Yeah.
Now, however, but if they're good neighbors, what if the guy who takes it doesn't want to take it? He knows it's his friend's thing.
It's his buddy.
He wants to give it back to the owner afterwards as a gift.
Mutar.
You can take payment for the effort of helping to take. In other words, you can give him back the food that costs lots of money, and he can give you a couple bucks for your time and effort for that. Now, of course, you might say, wait a minute, does that mean that, and that's really based on a mission. The mission says, and if you're clever, you make a calculation after Shabbos. In other words, you tell guys, okay, everybody can take what they want. So everybody understands what's going on over here. They're gonna take for themselves. And then after Shabbos, they're gonna give them the stuff back. And he'll recompensate them for their time. Now, that's a problem. Doesn't it seem that he was hiring them to work for him on Shabbos? So the Gemara says, "Ve'ein zeh schar Shabbos." That is not considered payment on Shabbos. Why? Shere ein shom melach. Listen, there's no real work. There's no real prohibition. Shlohotzio ela b'makamor. If he only put it into a place that had an eruv, So the truth of the matter is, so what's happening is they're just taking it and they're giving it back to him, and he's buying it back from them. It's like he's buying it back from them, but he's not paying them for their wages. In other words, we have a lot of bread here. Would you like the bread? Yeah, I'll sell it to you real cheap, you know, $5, and you can have all the bread back, right? So therefore, these guys got it from Hefker. So he's not paying them the work for saving it, but the fact is, he's giving them, because they're returning it willfully, so he's giving them a few bucks for returning it, but not for the work. That's how we get around that. Mm-hmm. So, good. Kafe. Now, there's other tricks of the trade here.
I'm a love emoker.
Now, of course, on Shabbos, you're always supposed to have the nicest food you can have. So what happens if you save, the first thing you save is not such a nice thing of food. You say, hey, you know, I can go back and get better food for Shabbos, and you have to honor the Shabbos after all. So hitzil pas nekiya. Let's say he saved very clean, good, processed bread for three meals, or for that matter, any kind of food, meat, fish, etc., etc. and he has that. So ein chozer umatzel pashe. He can't go back and take bread of a less quality. Because what are you going to be taking it for? There's no purpose in taking something that's of a less quality, right?
But the opposite is true.
But if he first took bread that wasn't so great, then chozer masel pas nekia. Now he can come back and take better food.
Right.
So you see what he could do over here. He can always
smart and take
better stuff afterwards.
Take the bad stuff first.
So therefore, the rabbi said you can make a trick at the outset. You can lechatchila. I'm going to take the bad stuff first. And if I still think I can get back in there, then I'm going to take better stuff. And that way, you know, or let's say the guy takes a piece of fish. And he says, you know what? I decided I don't want to have fish for the meal. I want to have a better meal. I want to have meat. Okay, I want meat. So I'm going to go back and I take the meat. And now that way you got the fish and the meat.
I guess that's smoked fish and smoked meat.
Right, even though you're not going to eat them all at that meal. In other words, you first come and say, oh, this is what I need for my meal. Hey, come to think of it, there's better stuff I could have taken. So you go back. So you end up saving more food than what you need because each time you took it, it was originally for the meal. So that's how you can act with cunning, as it were, to save more stuff. You can save, let's say there's a fire on Yom Kippur.
Used to be
when we did the calendar by sighting the moon, it was possible that Yom Kippur could come out on a Friday. Now it isn't. The fixed calendar is such that it doesn't come on Friday. But it was possible it could come out on Friday. So let's say there's a fire on Friday. Now what happens normally on Yom Kippur if it would be on a Friday? Well then guess what? You have to have food ready before Yom Kippur to even on Shabbos. Because you can't prepare on Yom Kippur.
So your
food's
in the house, ready for
Shabbos. So there's got to be food to eat on Shabbos. So now let's say, God forbid, the fire's on Yom Kippur. What you're doing at home, I don't know. But anyway.
See, after your shluff. You took a little shluff in the afternoon.
So now you're allowed to save food on Yom Kippur for what you need for Shabbos. Im haye yom ha-kippurim be'erev Shabbos. If Yom Kippur was erev Shabbos, you could save food for Shabbos. But that's again only in those days where it was possible such a scenario.
Today that's not possible.
And for that matter, even if Yom Kippur was on a Thursday, and you know that it's impossible to get any stuff on Friday for Shabbos, similarly you could save on Yom Kippur a Thursday for what you'd need on Shabbos. And similarly, you could save food on Yom Kippur, let's say regardless, for the meal after the fast. Let's say Yom Kippur's on a Tuesday, and you're going to need food to eat right after the fast. So you could save food for that as well. Avol eina matzel b'Shabbos Yom Kippur. You can't save for Shabbos for after Yom Kippur. Let's say the fire was on Shabbos, and then comes Yom Kippur. And
what
then,
food are you saving for Yom Kippur?
No, matzah Yom Kippur. For breaking the fast. Okay? So, and there's a mitzvah to eat after Yom Kippur.
Yeah.
So let's say you have Shabbos and then Yom Kippur. Let's say, again, when you Mekadosh
it
up to the moon. Yom Kippur is Sunday, so what's he going to eat on Matzah Yom Kippur? Yeah. So you could save on Shabbos what you need for Matzah Yom Kippur.
You can't.
I'm sorry, where did I go now? I lost the place. One second. You don't save from Shabbos for Yom Kippur. You don't save from Shabbos for a Yontif. You don't save food on this Shabbos for next Shabbos. Because that would be prepared. It's a long time, and you have time to prepare 6 days from one Shabbos next. In other words, you only save on Shabbos for what you need for that Shabbos. You don't save on Shabbos for a holiday that comes afterwards. You don't save a Shabbos for the next Shabbos. For Shabbos, you don't. But on Yom Kippur, you could save if the Shabbos is coming right after that. Or Yom Kippur, you could save for what's right at the end of Yom Kippur.
Rabbi, doesn't it say one may not, however, save food on Shabbos for Yom Kippur?
Yeah.
That's what I said.
I thought the rabbi said you could.
You can.
For breaking the fast.
So if I said I was mistaken.
So why can't you, though? How do you
can't
break
prepare
the fast?
That's your problem. You can't. Shabbos cannot prepare for other days of the week.
Oh, I see. Okay.
But other days can prepare for Shabbos.
So now, can I go back to the other way you do the fish and then the meat?
Yeah.
I mean, is there a problem of risking one's life to go in and save?
We would assume that you've got time to do that. We would assume the person.
Because you're not allowed to go in and save food.
If you see the pillars falling down and
the second floor is collapsing.
Not a good idea.
I would say that's not smart just to go in there. That's my
right.
Medical.
Obviously, there can't be any health issues. Okay, now, another issue.
Good question.
Umashu matzah lilbosh. What can you save in clothing?
Oh.
Lovish kol mashu yochel lilbosh. Put on whatever you can. Va'otev koma shiruloch alatov, and wrap yourself in everything you can. Umotzi, and you take it out. Okay. Now, from the Rambam appears you couldn't go back and forth and go many times.
Yeah.
Although there are other opinions,
what about the buddies?
That say you call could, because every time you're going in and out, you're wearing the clothes anyway. It's not like you're carrying. So others would argue and say you could even do that. And more than that, Vomer Lechem, tell your buddies. Vomer has Lechem here. It's a fire sale. Go take clothes.
It's a true fire sale.
Everybody can wrap up clothes and go take his clothes out. Verehu shalol. Kamoshal. Belongs to the guy just like the case for the food. The guy can keep it all. Shemina Hefkrim Zochrim, because they're getting it from Hefker. And certainly if they want to give it back to him after Shabbos, they'll give him a few bucks for it. That can happen as well.
Can you take a weekday suit and go back for a Shabbos suit? The same sort of food?
You could wear both at the same time.
No, but I mean...
You wear your white
to go back for more clothes? I wouldn't do that. Back if it was nicer for Shabbos?
You got to bring all that.
Maybe. Maybe the Ram would agree to that. Could be.
Number one.
Chaf up. You can save any kisve hakodesh, holy writings, which means Torah, Nevi'im, and Kesuvim.
There you go.
Tanakh. That's what you can save. Sheyesh b'chotzer... That is in this chatzer, you can take it out to another chatzer, in that mavui, in that alleyway. And more than this, now this is according to the Rambam, and the Rambam is much stricter here. Even though you didn't make an Eruv,
wow.
As long as the mavui has three walls and a lechi, even though there's no Eruv chatzeris, for safer Torahs, we're going to be more lenient already.
Wow.
For everything else, you have to have an Eruv, but to have Torahs burn, that already,
yeah, he's not gonna let that.
We have to, because it's only rabbinic anyway. Remember, it's only rabbinic problem anyway, so for a safer Torah, we're going to push that aside.
Wouldn't a safer Torah be like saving a life, too?
Whatever, for sure. Yeah. So anyway, now, it's very interesting. There's a little bit of a problem with the Rambam. Rambam is quoting a Mishnah. Now, in the times of in the Mishnah, right,
the Ketav,
only thing that was written down was the Torah Shebichsav, and not the Torah Shebal Peh. Now, then later on, the Torah Shebal Peh was written. So now, at that point in time, what would we say about today, Mishnayos and Gemaras? They would be considered under Kisvei Kodesh.
Right.
Nowadays, because nowadays you're allowed to write the oral law, so that's Kisvei Kodesh. And halacha is they could be saved from a fire as well, just like books of the Torah. The problem is, the Rambam who wrote the Mishnah Torah, he's wrote it well after the oral law was allowed to be written down, and he seems to only allow Kisvei Kodesh, and that's a little bit of a problem with the Rambam. That's a problem with the Rambam. Unless you wanted to make a liberal interpretation, Kisvei Kodesh would include more than Tanakh.
Right.
So that's a little bit, you have to be wondering. But the law is you could even save Gemaras. Now, but there's a few factors. Shiyu ksuvim ashuris. The ksav, the orthography, has to be ksav ashuris. That square block print like you find in a Sefer Torah. Ubalashna kodesh, and obviously has to be in Hebrew. So an English translation of the Chumash, you would not save.
No.
A Hebrew writing in Rashi script, you would not save. Avolim hayu ksuvim b'chol lashon, written in any other language, or b'ksav acher, with a different orthography. Eimatzil also, you don't save them. Afilo yishom erev, even if there is an erev, we would not save it. Now, again, just like we said, that this is all before the oral law was written. Once it was permitted, so then translations are also permitted. So similarly, you'd be able to save them. And in addition, we'll see, Sidurim and other similar texts could also be saved nowadays. All right? Although he doesn't say that. Okay. Yep. Ubechol. And in the weekdays, Osr Likros Behem. You can't read them. Okay, why can't you read them? What are we going on? But rather you leave them in an open place and they get destroyed on their own. Okay, what are we talking about over here? He says we're not allowed, what he means, you're not allowed to read the oral law. Again, it's before the oral law was permitted to be written. In other words, before the oral law was permitted to be written, if you haven't that, you can't even read it during the weekdays. If somebody wrote something, you can't read it. So what do you do with it? You just let it, you know, get destroyed on its own. Again, this halacha is not applying anymore because now you're allowed to write it. In other words, when the prohibition to write the oral law existed, if it was written, you couldn't read it.
What if couldn't benefit from the writing?
That wasn't at his time, was it?
I understand it's all a problem. It's all this whole Rambam is a bit of a problem. The Rambam seems to be wording it in the times of the Mishnayos.
There's a big note here.
Right, to tell a story with Abba Chalafta. Yeah. He went by Rabbi Gamliel in Tveria, and he saw it. He was sitting on his table, and it was Sefer Eov in a translation, and he was reading it. So he says, "I remember by Rabbi Gamliel, your grandfather, that he was standing by the Harabayas, and they brought from a Sefer Eov that was translated." And he said to the builder, put it into the bricks of the building.
Whoa.
And hide it. In other words, just an English translate, well, not English, I guess it would be Greek.
Aramaic.
Or Aramaic. Well, not Aramaic.
Targum. Targum is usually
Aramaic.
Yeah,
but I don't know if he means Aramaic. Maybe he meant in another language. But in other words, they would bury these things because you couldn't have it. But nowadays, this is all permitted. So again, it's a problem. Why is the Rambam who lived in nowadays, why he wrote that halacha? It's all a question. All right, next halacha. Chav Zayin. What if these svarim that you're allowed to save were written not with the standard kosher black ink, but with different types of inks, different types of dyes, red inks, but not the kosher ink for a Sefer Torah? Even though it's not a permanent lettering, as long as they're in the block print and in Hebrew language, so you have to save them, because right now they have holy words, even though it's not the Kiddush of a Sefer Torah. What about a gillion shosfarim? What about the blank columns? The blank parchment around? Let's say you cut off, for whatever reason, some parchment of a Torah was cut off, and all you have is blank parchment. So blank parchment, a svarim shalamal shalamata, from above and below the line, ushabein parsh parsh, or in between the columns, between every parsh, ushabein daf daf, in between the pages, ushabitchilas a sefer at the beginning of a sefer, ushabos at the end of a sefer, all those blank lines, all these blank parchments, ain matzil and osam, you're not allowed to save them.
They cut them apart.
Because there's no holiness to them.
But it's only if they're cut off the Torah.
If they were cut off. If it's part of the Torah, you have to save
it. Them out.
There's nothing there. And once it was part of the Torah, for whatever reason, they were cut off. So you got parchment. So that parchment, although you don't throw it away, stamasoi, but if it's in a fire, we can't save it. Now, interesting what he says next. Habrochos. Brochos. What brochos are you talking about? If your guy wrote out the brachos that the rabbis told you to write, let's say you wrote the Shmon Esrei or a Siddur. Now again, it's interesting. The Rambam is saying a Siddur, but a Kameh is an amulet. And in the amulet, they write various verses of the Torah. Avavisheish b'm osiyos shall shel shem u'min yonas harbi shel Torah, even though it has all kinds of letters and it's got and names of Hashem and many ideas of Torah. Ein matzil noso mi play hadleika. You don't save it because it's not a Torah. Interesting. We already brought down that we would save Siddurim and things like that. But anyway, he says you don't save it. Chavches sefer Torah sheish bo lelakei shmonim v'chamesh osios mitoch tevo shlemos. Now, what is the definition of the smallest amount of scripture that one would save? So a sefer Torah, it's a partial sefer Torah. That has, let's say, for example, you have a sefer Torah, and a lot of letters got smudged out. So what's still left that's still intact? So you have at least 85 letters that have complete words. That is the minimal amount to be considered a piece of sefer Torah that's worthy to be saved. Even if you include words that are totally Aramaic in the Chumash, such as Yigar Sohadusa, which is which parsha? Parshas Vayetze. Oh. Remember when they made, when Lavan cut up to Yaakov and they made pile of stones?
Yes.
It was called, one called it a Gal-Aid. In Hebrew, Yaakov called it a Gal-Aid. He called it a Yehagar Sahadusa, which is Aramaic for a pile of stones, and it's written in the Chumash. So it's an Aramaic word, but it is part of the original biblical writing, so that is included as well. Even if it doesn't have 85 letters, but Vayeshba, of course, it has Hashem's name in it. Kigon, for example, Vayehi bin Soharon, that little section of Hebrew in Soharon, where some letters are missing, but you still have Hashem's name, Matzino Samibleka, you save it from a fire. So this is where we have this minimum amount, 85 letters, And where do we get the 85 letters from? Because that is exactly how many letters is in the smallest. Because, you know, Vayehi means, so remember in Parshas Baloischa, you have some upside down nuns.
Yes.
Before and after Vayehi bin Saron. The word says technically Vayehi bin Saron is its own sefer, right. Its own book. Now, Vayehi bin Saron has 85 letters. So that is what we call the minimal amount to be considered a book. That's where you get 85 letters from. So let's say you have a comma that has hundreds of letters, but so many are rubbed out. But if you got 85 letters and a number of words, complete whole words, or if you got Hashem's name over there, then already you save that. Umatzilin tik ha-sefer, im ha-sefer. You also save the tik, the encasing, which is used to hold the sefer Torah, and im ha-sefer with the sefer. In other words, not just the sefer Torah, you can save the case. Svardim have a mamish case,
nice
right?
Case,
you say, why save the case? Just take the parchment out. No, the case is there for the honor of the parchment, so you save the case as well. And similarly, vatik tefillin and tefillin. You also save tefillin, and we save the case of the tefillin. Even though there may be money there as well inside the tefillin sekel, but the money is bottled to the teak. So even though it's a shtickel muktza, but when you have something that's more important than the money, which is the tefillin, so you could save a tefillin and a tefillin bag, a sefer Torah and a sefer Torah cover, together with that, and those are all the things you
the
may save.
The tefillin is muktza too, aren't they?
But it's inside its parchment.
I appreciate that, but the tefillin is muktza.
It's muktza, stamazoi, but to save it from a fire, you're saving parshas of the Torah.
Is this saying you're allowed to save clothes, but you're not allowed to save like the blank parchment?
That's correct.
Why is that?
Nothing on the
parchment. Blank parchment is not holy.
It's away from the Torah. Clothes aren't holy.
Clothes, I need clothes.
If you don't patch them up.
These are things you need. You need this for Shabbos.
Oh, you need it for Shabbos.
It doesn't say you could save furniture.
Yeah, I noticed that. But it says the people can carry out your furniture.
Did it say the furniture
or
the food?
Yeah, it says the big items. Big items. Devar gadol.
Oh, kli, no, a kli echad.
No, lo yechazek.
But I think it means a lot of food.
I don't think he differentiated. He already talked about food.
What did we say?
Look over here. Right at Kaf Dalet. Kli Echad. What is it? No, over here. The Varga, the Vahareisha, Matzil, the Imla Ratzam.
Lechal Echad, O Kli Echad. They can take one large thing.
Yeah, but it doesn't mean furniture.
In a single container, it holds a large amount of food. It means a large amount of food, Martin. Yeah. It means a large amount of food.
It's food for them.
Kli echad shemachzik afilu. What it means by dover gadol means a lot of food, and they save the food. That word misleads you, dover gadol. But you can't take the furniture.
It's the dining room table.
No. That's not what he means. It's talking about the food. It's all about the food. You're not gonna mix in the dining room table.
How you get a bench?
Okay. Yeah. Good question. Oh. Okay. We finished the parak. God willing, next section we'll deal with things that are osur, not because of malachas, not because we're afraid you can do a malacha, but as we say, it's not Shabbos-dick. That's going to be the next chapter. So next week, God willing, will be a full week.
No bowling anymore, Paul.
All right. So everybody will be back from Eitz Chaim, we hope. Shkayach, guys.